month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Racine County Health Department will be giving free flu vaccinations for children over 6 months old on Friday, October 30th from 2 to 6 at Memorial Hall in downtown Racine. For more, visit cityofracine.org/health or dial 262-636-9201.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. They believe that every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus is located in Kenosha on 39th Avenue, serving the community since 1931.
Support comes from the Geneva Lake Theater Company, offering a Halloween-themed dinner show Friday, October 30th at Broggy in Williams Bay. A costume party will take place the following evening with more theater, hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and dancing. A family-oriented matinee on Sunday. Call 686-8016.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here is today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Chuck Wolbers, your Education Matters host, and today we'll be talking about community youth intervention education programs. My guest today is Donna Rhodes, and she is the gang intervention supervisor with the Kenosha County Department of Children and Family Services. Welcome, Donna, and so I'm so glad you could join us. After long last, we have a chance to actually conduct the interview and do some talking and informing people about what's going on with your role in the community.
Well, Chuck, thank you for having me today. I'm very glad to be here and very happy to talk about the program, the very exciting programs we have going on here in Kenosha.
And this is going to be informative for me as well. Some programs, as we've spoken in the past, I'm not even aware of, and I'm sure that it'll be very, very helpful for our community members and our listening audience to keep well informed also.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, to start off, would you please briefly describe your professional preparation background and experience to this point and which led you to your current career path?
Okay. I have a bachelor's degree from UW-Parkside in sociology. I'm also a certified social worker through the state of Wisconsin. And I've been working with at-risk youth here in the Racine and also in Racine and Kenosha area for about 25 years. I spent 20 years with a private agency in town, professional services, and community impact. And then for the last 6 years, I've been with Kenosha County Division of Children and Family Services as the gang intervention supervisor.
Wow. And so you're from this area originally?
I am originally from Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I came down to the area to attend UW-Parkside and just never left this lovely area.
What a great endorsement tremendous organizations and experience that you have, community impact, professional services group, and then going to the county. We see so many wonderful professionals springboarding from there, not that we want to lose them necessarily from CIP or from personal services, but doing great things in the county and the school district and so forth. And that's certainly what we're going to be talking about a little bit more. Now, to clarify your title as a supervisor, what exactly is your role in support of preventing activities that require intervention with our at-risk youth?
Well, as a supervisor, I do provide direct supervision over two juvenile case managers, and those case managers manage cases of adjudicated delinquents and truants. But then in addition to those, any kids with specific gang ties to the community, family ties, or crime who may have been gang related, they're specifically case managed by my two staff.
Okay.
They've been specially trained in gang prevention and intervention strategies to help work with the family to help the youth make better choices and improve their behavior.
Okay, and so that's the social work intervention connection. And you obviously work with other agencies. Obviously, you were talking about adjudicated youth, so you're involved with the court system. And I would think also probably the police department, criminal justice, and certainly what we're most interested in specifically with this program is what you're doing in the schools. And so what do you do to intervene? And, you know, what's a typical technique or practice? And obviously you collaborate with other agencies, but to help our listening audience, what are the expected outcomes when you're working with an at-risk youth? What would we like to see?
Well, in terms of education, the key is to start early. I have been working with Kenosha Unified School District to provide gang prevention programming since 2009. And, Chuck, I can do gang prevention starting in second grade and never say the word gang.
Because
it's not just about the gang activity. It's about raising resilient children, children who know how to say no, make good choices, know where to go for help. What does it mean to be a friend? And so a lot of that education has been provided through the FAST program. And FAST stands for Families in Schools Together. Okay. It's a program that we've been blessed to have funding for probably the last 5 or 6 years. And we do the FAST program at different levels. There's elementary FAST and middle school FAST are the two programs I've specifically.
So the early intervention is extremely important to be proactive.
And I've done more elementary FAST than any other I've done more elementary than middle school. Because then what we do is we have a targeted age group of kids. It doesn't have to be at-risk kids. It's just kids that the school feel like that the family could use that connection with the school, but also social connections. So we have a team of people, two from the school, two from the community, and the most important partner on the team is the parent partner. And that would be a parent of a child in the school that age. And we provide an evening of programming that starts with a family dinner and ends with a lot of activities that the families and kids do together. Mm-hmm. But for my piece, I will meet individually with the children and do a youth group, and we talk about all of those things. They'll talk about ways to say no, and we practice those every week. Ways to say no. What does it mean to be a friend? Where to go to for help? How to ask for help? Those kind of things, those kind of skills, how to make good decisions, the skills you would need to, as you get older and maybe presented with the opportunity to make a choice about getting involved with a negative peer or not, you'll have those skills. Those ideals will be in the back of your head so that you know how to say no and how to move forward without making bad decisions.
Sure, sure. And very, very important. So what you're doing is addressing, it sounds to me like, some of the influences and images that are present in the community, and not just in the local community, but this is what's on television.
Yes.
And in the movies.
And on the internet.
And pervades music.
Yes, it is.
Almost every genre of entertainment and those influences, as I just mentioned, that children are and young people in general are exposed to. And so where is the FAST program conducted? I mean, how many schools?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not sure we even have funding for 2015.
Okay.
We did not do it spring 2015.
Okay.
And Pat Demas, who is a community
Yes.
A wonderful person who works for Kenosha Unified.
What a dynamo.
She has just been instrumental in getting us funding for this program.
Okay.
So we did not do it for spring 15. We're hoping to get funding for the fall of 15, but the last school we did it in last year was Bowles Elementary.
Okay. So and I like the idea of getting everyone involved so that someone who is high risk is not necessarily stigmatized.
Right, exactly.
And they can see that their peers are able to make comfortable, positive, productive choices without setting themselves apart necessarily and getting into a situation where someone feels superior and someone else feels intimidated and so forth and so on.
And it's really about relationship building. Yes, and it's about relationship building. We have the parents who have a separate group of their own.
Okay.
They look to lean on each other and build those connections between parents, but then also at the same time we're doing the training and the education for the children.
So is you mentioned the training, and this is a way of addressing perhaps some generational tendencies. Let's just put it that way. It's not something that someone wants to do, and so it's a condition that is it is what it is. We have to live with it and cope with it and learn how to break the cycle and encourage young people across the board to make better choices. So when you're talking about the training, what are the activities? Are there topics that you talk about? Are they lectures, or and it's primarily a dialogue or interchange, I suppose, of ideas and experiences?
Well, with the kids, we do a lot of interactive activities,
okay.
A lot of games. Okay. One of the activities we practice at every single FAST group are the four ways to say no.
Okay.
And those are change the subject,
okay.
Walk away, give a good firm no, or go out and ask for help.
Okay.
So at these groups, we will bring two young people up and whisper in one of them's ear, you know, ask this person to do something naughty, mm-hmm. and then the other one has to demonstrate one of the four ways to say no. And we do this for the elementary FAST. It is 10 weeks.
Okay.
So for 10 weeks, these kids are getting a lesson that they themselves are acting out, or they are watching someone else, because we make it, then the audience will have to guess which way of saying no that person just used. So we try to make it as interactive as possible. We do a game called Feeling Charades, because a lot of kids are not in tune of what this emotion I'm feeling right now is. So we'll do like musical cheers, but it's feeling charade, feeling mm-hmm. cheer, feeling cheers. There'll be an emotion on the back of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
The music stops. You sit in the chair. And then you have to act out the emotion on the back of the chair, and everyone has to guess what you're acting out. We're really just teaching kids to get more in touch with their own emotions, but also giving them some tools to use down the road.
So that they can decode, so to speak, some of the messages that may not be spoken.
Correct.
From other people.
Correct.
Very, very innovative. Now, do you happen to know, and you just mentioned that Bose was where you were active, at least this most mm-hmm. current year. In the past, has KUSD been the sole funding source, or has Pat been able to find other agencies and so forth that support this program?
Pat has been wonderful in finding different funding streams to fund the FAST program. We have done it at Columbus when they were still around. We've done it at McKinley, Brass Elementary.
Oh, boy.
And we've just been very, very successful.
What a great community. Brass is exciting. It really, really is.
And we had one of the most successful FAST programs we ever had was at Brass Elementary.
Sure,
we had very, very involved parents. We have parents that to this day stay in touch with each other, which is the goal of the program.
Yeah, so you've created a network and a community.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Because social isolation is one of the highest factors in what parent is going to abuse or neglect their child.
Sure.
We're able to connect parents to resources in the community and other parents. The rate of abuse and neglect drops significantly.
Wow. Okay. And then, so going from the elementary level, and by the way, I may as well ask now because I plan to ask later, are there activities at all or activity in the county? Is it not a concern, or are we just unaware of what may be going on in the county if there's anything comparable?
I'm not sure if there's anything comparable in the county. I know the county is very innovative with their programming also. Mm-hmm.
It's a different dynamic, let's face it.
Yes, it is.
Sure, sure. Well, that's very, very helpful. And going forward, of course, from the elementary level, you've got middle schools. And are there any initiatives that are starting at the middle school level that you're aware of?
Well, the most exciting initiative I believe we have in Kenosha right now is our Summer Youth Employment Program. And that starts for young people age 14. So it actually starts in middle school.
So it does start in middle school.
Yes.
And and I will fill in the blanks. I've been involved with that program in a number of capacities over several years. And one of my guests on this show, in fact, several months ago, right? It was around Super Bowl time. And Scott McClellan, the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club, was a rabid Patriots fan, was at a very, very happy time in his life. But at any rate, I know that program is stationed and centered out of the Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about how youth or young people that want to work and what the objectives of the program are, how do they access it? How are they identified? Do they just go and apply? Some of the students I worked with in Tremper High School have just heard about it, and that's their expectation. I would just ask innocently, what are you doing this summer? Oh, I'm going to work for the Boys and Girls Club. And so there is almost an expectation. And so I'll let you, I've done enough talking about it, so let's hear a little bit more about how students are identified, who gets into it, how, and how long they've been conducting. It's been around for a while.
Yes, it has. The Summer Youth Employment Program started in 2009 in its current form. Started in 2009 with some federal stimulus dollars.
Okay.
And we were able to employ, we had about $310,000 that year, federal funds, and we were able to employ about 300 young people aged 14 to 24 that year.
Mm.
What we found is that we did an analysis of juvenile crime and crime rates of the summer when we had the highest risk youth in the community working, and we saw a 37% drop in juvenile arrests during that time period, which was amazing.
That's substantial.
That is substantial. So with that being said, County Exec Jim Cruiser looked at those numbers and said, hey, we got to keep this going.
We've got to
so
buy in.
So at that point, since 2010, we have been running this program with $250,000. Thank you, County Exec Cruiser, because that money is keeping about 200 young people, the highest risk young people in the community, busy all summer long.
Sure.
Now, the program is for at-risk youth, and by at-risk, we mean homeless,
yep,
foster kids, teen parents or pregnant teens,
sure,
delinquents or youth at risk for delinquency,
okay,
gang-involved youth or youth with a disability,
sure,
youth that are failing in school.
Sure.
So those are the youth that it's not for the kid who has the skills and has the support to go to McDonald's, put on a nice shirt and tie, and go and put out an application. These are for the young people that may struggle with that
may
kind of social
interaction. May not have those conventional supports
or do not
social
have
skills.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Exactly. Wow.
And one
okay
of the
yep
things, and we did it in 2009. In 2010, we decided this is a job and it needs to feel like a job. So we started doing interviews.
Uh-huh,
and
yes,
every young person that comes in has to do an interview. They are taught by whoever referred them to come properly dressed, to maintain good eye contact, appropriate behavior during an interview, appropriate answers to the question. So it's a mentoring program from day one. They're mentored from the interview. And then the work sites they work at, this is not just free labor to a business for 8 weeks. We talk to all of our businesses, and they know that they have to mentor this young person and what does it take to be successful in the work world. And the most exciting piece that ties into our topic today is the partnership we have with Kenosha Unified.
Mm-hmm.
Kenosha Unified has partnered with us to provide a half credit towards graduation for all youth who successfully complete the educational portion and the work portion. We have had young people that half credit made a difference between graduating and not graduating, between jumping up into the next class. So it's a very valued partnership with Kenosha Unified.
And that is a hugely value-added aspect that, as you mentioned, and I was involved with that function and that part of the process in providing some of the curricular materials and so forth. And with, I think at the time it was Kathy Cole we were working
yes
with, and provided some of the framework worksheets, resume formats, interview formats, filling out an application. There is a very, very well-established and accountable curriculum guideline. And if I'm not mistaken, the classes were on Fridays.
Yes.
And if the program is still formatted the same way as far as the scheduling is concerned, they started Monday. Most importantly, I think that people would find it helpful to know that there will be more young people in the community more visibly starting this past Monday and as summer school gets started. And you may see them on work crews or in a number of capacities in different businesses around the Kenosha area. And I know at one time during the first week of summer school, there was a training phase. I don't know if they're still doing that. I think that was at Reuther High School.
Well, what we do now is We have several work sites. We have the County Parks is one of our partners. So we have a crew that works out in Silver Lake Park and also Petrified Springs, and they work side by side with another one of our important community partners is Community Impact Programs.
CIP, yes.
So those young people, the young people refer to the program, and those young social workers actually go out to the parks and work side by side with those young people.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some school-based sites where at Bradford, Trimpert, and ITA, the young people will actually be assigned to a supervisor in those buildings and will be cleaning the building during the summer.
Doing some of the custodial chores.
Yes, exactly. They'll be cleaning the lockers and, you know, just doing the end-of-year cleaning over the 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
With those two groups of young people, will have their education in the first week. So starting next week, Tuesday, through the 16th through the 19th, those young people will be going to Bradford for 4 hours a day, getting their education that way. And if they successfully complete that portion, in addition to the 8 weeks of work, they will get their half credit.
Sure.
The other program, the other employer, quote unquote, that we use is the Youth Employment in the Arts.
Okay.
That is a program that creates beautiful art that's displayed all over the city in the form of garbage cans and murals and mosaics, city and county. And those classes are taught by Kenesha Unified teachers. So they will get their education right there in their classroom during their regular work week.
And this is transcripted experience.
Yes.
It goes on to their transcript and contributes to their graduation progress.
It does.
And the students must attend.
Yes, they
must.
It's
not like it's something that's just given them.
No.
They must earn it.
Yes.
You didn't get this. You earned it. And I know there's another site, I believe one of the county parks, KD, which is a far west Kenosha County Park, which is fairly close to Silver Lake.
Yeah, this summer, we have done work at KD Park every year since they created KD Park a few years ago.
Okay. Yep.
So actually, we don't have work at KD this year.
So the trails are completed?
Yes,
exactly.
Okay, good. So most of the work will be at Silver Lake Park, Petrified Springs Park, but then also we're doing some work at a couple of the golf courses, Brightondale and Petrified Springs Golf Course.
Okay, and I know at the Kemper Center there used to be a group.
Be a group at Kemper this year.
So these are some changes. Mm-hmm. So that I mention this now because, again, there are probably members of our listening audience who may be interested in seeing or being aware of where youth are working in the community. And are there people that volunteer to help if they think this is a worthwhile activity? I just came up this, you know, kind of last minute as a thought. Has that ever come up, Donna?
No, we've never thought about volunteers. Like I said, the young social workers from community impact programs are actually reassigned to work side by side with the kids in the park. And these kids have created some wonderful, wonderful projects in the parks. There's a split rail fence at Petrified Springs that were built by our kids. The playground equipment that's there has been painted a couple of years by our kids. And you talk about an education. We had one summer where the kids went out and they painted the playground equipment, came out the next week, and someone had tagged it with graffiti. And that is a life lesson that we would have never thought kids would have gotten, because those kids were so incredibly angry. How dare they do this to our work? But what it was a lesson to them.
Yes.
It was one of those life lessons that we would have never gotten had they not been involved in this program. The shoe was on the other foot for change.
Exactly. At this point, now someone is doing to you what you were doing to someone else, maybe.
Exactly.
And not that we can make that assumption, but they certainly get a sense that someone's going to pay.
Right.
And if you're proud of something, you don't want someone else who didn't do anything just trying to get some recognition or had free time on their hands is attention-seeking or whatever. The workday then starts when? Can you tell me a little bit about when students get started?
Well, it's a 20-hour work week.
Okay.
If they're in the parks, it is or the Youth Employment in the Arts, it is 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
If they are working at many of our private employers, our private businesses, they work 18 hours a week, and then they get their education for 2 hours on Friday.
Okay.
So it's the 20 hours a week for 8 weeks. The young people under 18 earn minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. Those over 18, because the program goes from 18 to 21, they will earn $8 an hour.
Wow. Okay. And you had mentioned then that the youth that work with the private employers and the private employment partners in the community for 18 hours, and then they attend their curricular component for the remaining time. When do the students that are working at the parks do the curricular component?
They are actually starting their piece. They're going to be doing it next week, June 16th through the 19th, and they will get it all out of the way at the beginning of the program.
Okay. So the program started Monday, and the week prior to that, they were in the class then.
Yes, because work on the work sites actually starts on Monday the 22nd.
Got it. Okay.
The young people in the youth employment in the arts and placed in the county parks, they will actually get their education out of the way in the beginning of the program.
Okay.
And then the rest will be just a flat 20 hours of work per week.
Okay. I see. And, this is very exciting. The students that are working in this capacity and benefiting from this experience are also building skills that the academic piece is going to support directly.
Definitely.
They've got to be writing. They've got to be spelling properly. And they're held accountable. We're not just going to hand in some piece of paper and have it accepted. No, it's got to be corrected.
Yes.
And there are people that are certified as teachers to be able to make those corrections and
provide
that kind of
teachers.
Guidance. I know that at one time there have been some longstanding people and very, very highly regarded community leaders, much like yourself, that have been involved with this program. Gary Vargas comes to mind as one. And I work with Mark Schenck, who for many, many years has been deeply involved with the at-risk community and is just a remarkable resource. A while back, I know Gary Eckstein, who's over at Kenosha Achievement Center.
You're one of our partners. They provide all of our transportation out to the Western County Parks.
The caravan program and so forth. Wonderful. So it is that example of a village making it happen. Many, many different components supporting and providing that safety net and support network. If not a safety net, at least a support network for those most at risk and deserving students that are taking advantage of this program.
You know, Kenosha is very blessed in that we have the community agencies that work so well together. It's check your ego at the door because everyone just works to the betterment of our community.
I've mentioned this before, and I think even Gary Eckstein, when I was still working at KAC, wonderful experience, and then since then in the district, when I've gone to for the school district to conferences in different places, you'll sit in a meeting of some sort or some kind of a workshop, and someone will be talking about some very, very exciting and innovative initiative, and surprisingly, if you're from Kenosha, you can yawn and say, doing it.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
It really is. And we don't see folks from Kenosha out there beating the band and standing in front, taking all this credit. They're just doing it.
Yes.
And I think it speaks worlds for a dynamic that exists here in Kenosha that's very, very giving and certainly encourages that kind of innovation.
Yes. Just to throw some numbers out to you,
please.
We have had, since 2010, we've had 1,081 young people go through this program. And again, they're age 14 to 21.
Sure.
So we have some of them who don't qualify for the credit, and unfortunately we have some who don't successfully complete the credit. Like I said, we don't just give it to them.
No,
they have
to
earn it.
Oh, yeah.
So of that 1,081, 569 young people have earned that half credit towards graduation.
Wow.
In addition, we have seen the first year we saw a 37% drop in juvenile arrest. We're averaging over the last 6 years about a 43% drop in juvenile crime as compared to the year prior to this 2008, the year prior to program inception.
Is there a way to determine whether this is coincidental or are these really direct relational numbers that if these young people, certain young people by name, were not involved in this program and didn't have access to these resources, that quite likely that 43% wouldn't happen?
Well, you know, as much as I would like to say summer youth employment save the world, which is a joke around the office. I know it is not, that drop in crime is not all because of summer youth employment. We have a fantastic police department.
Absolutely.
We have wonderful, wonderful community-based services. Mm-hmm. We have people like Gary Vargas and Dennis Bedford who are out there working to keep at-risk youth busy and to help them build the skills to make better decisions.
Yeah.
So that drop in crime is fantastic for all of the community agencies that work with our youth, but I think the Summer Youth Employment Program is a piece of that.
It
that
sure reduction. Is. I think, and I've got to reintroduce here as part of our format, but and I'll do that in just a second, but I think that some of what influences youth and maybe gives them some of those folks some second thought not to do something or to make a better choice, which is reflected in that 43% drop, is because of something that is shared by somebody else. It may not be that direct influence on that one person.
Well, you know, you keep a young person very busy, and you put some money in their pocket, they will make better choices. The first year we had this program, I called Mr. Dennis Bedford, and I was like, what are you hearing on the streets this summer? And he was like, you know, it's very quiet. He said, I haven't heard about many parties, many bike thefts, fights. Mm-hmm. So then I contacted the police department and said, hey, run some numbers for me.
Okay.
And when we found that 37%, the deputy I was talking to called me and was like, you won't believe this. So everyone was just super excited.
Yeah.
And we know that keeping young people busy, keeping them focused, partnering them with pro-social adults is the key to helping young people make better choices.
Right. And you mentioned Dennis Bedford a couple times. I meant no disrespect by overlooking. He is one of the most widely traveled people. He's shocking sometimes.
Yes, he
when
is.
You think, you get talking with him, and he's been here, he's been there. He could be a travel guide or a tour guide more than much in a new life, I suppose, as well as anything else. This is WGTD and the Education Matters Show. Today we're talking about community youth intervention education programs for our at-risk youth with Donna Rhodes, who's a gang intervention supervisor with the Kenosha County Department of Children and Family Services. Going from the Boys and Girls Club in the summer to campus-based activity during the school year, what can our students look forward to? And if someone was interested, they weren't involved in the Summer Youth Employment Program, which is underway right now, as the school year starts next year, what can a young person start thinking about? How do they get into this program? Who can they contact to say, hey, keep me at the top of the list for next summer?
Well, that's a tough question because this program is for at-risk youth.
Mm.
And unfortunately, we have a lot of parents that call and say, how do I get my kid in this program? And then the answer is, well, they have to be referred by a case manager. Well, how do I get my kid a case manager? And we have to explain that you don't want your child to have a case manager.
Right.
So, this is not for the kids who have the fantastic support and the parents who can model what do you wear.
Or transport and all those other things.
One story to talk about, just to give you an example of the young people we work with, doing the interviews last year, we had a young lady who showed up with a dress so inappropriately short. I don't even know how she walked in it. So then we do a critique at the end of the interview, what you did well, what you can work on in the future. And when they critiqued what she was wearing, she had said in a very sad face and tone, well, my mother told me I looked nice. But that's just the example of the homes these kids are coming from. It wasn't appropriate for a job interview, but, her mother thought it was.
Right.
So, and that's the sad part. And these are the young people we're trying to get to. We're trying to get them out and get them that mentoring experience from the interview forward. It's a mentoring experience in the job. They're not only learning the hard skills of what they do on their individual work sites, but they're learning the soft skills, how to handle conflict, how to get to work on time and why that's important, how to do a resume. In the school portion, we talk about resumes and mock interviews and job skills and career development, career interests. So this is really a mentoring program from the first interaction forward.
When did they actually start the interviews?
The interview started our second year in 2010.
Right, but I meant for this year. They were in May?
They were in May.
Okay. So before May, if a young person knew that they might be involved in this process, how would they is there an expectation that they would have been prepared by someone
yes.
to be successful? Okay,
yes.
So they were lined up with maybe their CIP worker or a community case
exactly.
worker of some sort? Okay.
The Kenosha County DCFS, okay. juvenile justice social workers, they make referrals into this program.
Yes.
We have three
school-based. And I don't
want to
go into some of the names. They're very, very good friends
yes.
of mine, very, very highly respected people, and I just think they're wonderful. And I wish we had the time to go into recognizing every one of them. Jackie Hartley comes to mind, just
yes.
a fantastic
oh.
person. What a great example for these kids to say,
yes.
I want to be like her. And I just use that as one example. Prior to that, at the Kenosha County Job Center, Jeff Kell does a wonderful job
yes,
of putting together that Youth Employment Expo mm-hmm. over the spring break.
Yes.
So is that a place where you typically try to get the CIP workers to hit them hard and say, get them there. They may not get a job out of this, but at least it's a learning experience to be prepared for the Summer Youth Employment Program.
More importantly, to find unsubsidized employment. You know, the
Correct.
Summer Youth Employment Program is an 8-week subsidized work program.
Right.
We want young people to find unsubsidized employment. And
sure.
right now, as a matter of fact, I'm getting calls every day. Hey, this kid got a job. Take him off the list. This kid got a job. Because there are kids out there and they're working and they're looking for
sure.
work. So
they
yes,
get hungry for that
partner,
because they can make more money actually.
They can, and they
yes.
will work longer
sure.
than the 8 weeks. So our goal is for young people to find unsubsidized employment.
And
this is just a tool towards
yeah.
that. Yes.
And the unsubsidized employment, let's face it, is more realistic. It's a reflection of the business world, the larger community.
And it's more long term.
Well, it truly is, and can go into the school year.
Yes.
So they're learning those lessons about, geez, everyone's going on vacation. I think I'm going on vacation. And no, you're not. You haven't earned that benefit yet.
Yes.
And this is the way the workplace works.
Yes.
And you pay your dues, you're going to get into that situation at some point. And you know what it's like when somebody doesn't show and you've got to haul their
Yes.
part of the shift as well as your own.
Yes.
So those life lessons are important and they're tough. And the young people do build a sense of earnership, as opposed to just walking around with a sense of ownership.
Right.
And
well, one of the things we
yeah.
do is we limit the participation in this program. You cannot get in this program year after year after year.
Okay.
And we do have young people say, oh, don't worry, I'm going to work for the Boys and Girls Club, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
No, we want as many at-risk young people in this community to have this opportunity.
This should be a springboard
into
the competitive community employment.
Yes.
In that unsubsidized environment. And hopefully this mechanism provides a springboard to that. And with, like I said, it could be – and it's tough. Six Flags, Great America Six Flags, has a tremendous number of opportunities for some of our young people. But there's a huge transportation
yes.
Of challenge with mm-hmm. that. And so many of the opportunities that people would think of, oh, it's only a summer job, it's a part-time thing, and so forth, and they don't see it as real, I think that sometimes gets in the way.
Well, that's one of the reasons we limit participation, because we want to give you the skills. We give you the skills starting with the interview and then through your 8 weeks of work and
mm-hmm.
your educational portion. So by the end of the summer, you have the skills necessary to go out, to fill out a job application,
sure.
to put down, I worked for the Boys and Girls Club during
mm-hmm.
the summer of 2015, and this is what I did. I was placed at the Urban Outreach Center
sure.
or at Popeye's Chicken
mm-hmm.
or at Rash Construction, and these are the things I did. So when someone's coming in, they can say, hey, we have a young person here who properly filled out this job application, who came to the interview properly dressed, and has some work experience and some skills
and
to bring to
the job. And develop some specialized skills to distinguish themselves with. And
yes.
if that's interjected or included in the resume, that person is now much more valuable, much more marketable.
Correct.
And now, as far as supporting the ongoing curriculum in the school, I can only speak for Tremper High School, and Sue Pacetti's wonderful Reality Check Day experience. If you haven't seen that, please check it out. It is a wonderful, wonderful experience for our some of the students that do go through the Reality Check Day program are personal finance students, and it's a scenario-based decision-making learning experience where a student creates their own profile, what profession they're going to be working in, what kind of money they're going to be making, and so forth and so on, and their life profile, how many kids they have, dogs, pets, and so forth and so on, and cars and that kind of thing. And then they go into the experience, which is in a library, it could be in the gymnasium. There are a lot of people involved. And they have to go from station to station making decisions about how much they're going to spend on a house, what's their car going to be looking like, and, oh, by the way, they just got a speeding ticket. Now pay that off and keep going and try to get things done in a within a time frame and have that checkbook balance to a certain point, acceptable point, by the end of the experience. And that, I think, is a hugely important way to lead up to this experience. And I don't
That's awesome. I didn't even know they had that program,
and
because I do something similar to that when we talk about the value of education. We go through what kind of house and car and cell phone and life you want to live, and we say, well, if you only have a high school diploma, high school diploma, bachelor's degree, master's degree, and what changes the different levels of education can bring to your life.
And my most recent guest in a previous show, Ken Riley from Gateway Technical College here as a non-traditional occupation specialist, talks about that with our young people and starting them off from, without a high school diploma, this is what you can – this is what you can expect to make with the high school diploma going forward, and looking at some of the options for technical certifications in some of the underrepresented areas. And it makes a huge difference, and he makes a tremendous impact. I'm glad to see that we had this conversation, and it's a natural segue. All this works together, and I think it speaks again to the positive dynamic that exists in Kenosha, that so many people are working together positively and productively. We talked about the FAST program in elementary school, starting middle schoolers out with the summer youth employment program. I know for sure, and from personal experience, that we have a PBIS program in some of the high schools, and maybe you can speak to PBIS, how that's integrated into the high schools and where it's located.
PBIS is currently at, I believe, two of our high schools, maybe three, and is positive. Let's see, positive behavior intervention and supports.
Yes.
And it's an entire school-based program.
Correct.
Everyone in the school is trained in PBIS,
mm-hmm.
from the janitor to the lunch lady. And what each school will do is they will focus on three or four behaviors, no more than five behaviors, that they want to increase in their schools. And kids are acknowledged and rewarded, not necessarily with things,
mm-hmm.
rewarded with praise and
mm-hmm.
primary seating at a assembly,
mm-hmm.
Lunch with the teacher.
Sure.
Teachers are rewarded for buying into and bringing forth the positive PBIS strategy in school. Primary parking, a PBIS Teacher of the Month parking
sure.
space. I mean, there's just positive ways to do this, positive reinforcement in the schools to bring forth more positive behaviors, therefore mm-hmm. reducing the number of negative behaviors.
And trying to reduce the incidence of punishing negative behaviors by recognizing the benefits
yes.
of positive choices.
Yes.
And I know there was a curricular component that was developed specifically for that, Success Highways, and it talks about resiliency and safety on campus and the types of choices that a ninth grader would make, especially getting started early. Is this going to contribute to your success? And what is success to you? And what barriers do you see in the school that hopefully you can make some choices about avoiding? And identifying those resources and sources within the school that can support that. And that's very important. Now, are there any other programs that we've mentioned? The FAST program, the Summer Youth Employment Program, PBIS in the high school specifically. Is there anything else that comes to mind, Donna?
Well, it's not so much a program. It's a whole change in philosophy
right.
with the Stand Up Kenosha campaign,
okay.
the anti-bullying mm-hmm. campaign.
Sure.
And PBIS is going to have a part in that because
mm-hmm.
they're looking at making all schools PBIS schools.
Okay.
It is not only
Wonderful.
In the high schools. They recently started PBIS at Hillcrest School,
mm-hmm.
which is a school where a lot of our higher-risk young people go.
It's
in several middle schools and also in elementary schools. So I think the combination of using PBIS in partnership with the Stand Up Kenosha campaign is really going to be changing the culture of the schools.
Wow. Well, it's very, very exciting. We're starting at the beginning of the summer now. The kids have been at work for a week. I'm very excited to see the direction it's going, and I'm sure that our listening audience can appreciate now a little bit more about some of the dynamics behind these initiatives. Today, I've been pleased to share time with our community youth intervention education programs, talking with Donna Rhodes, who is the gang intervention supervisor at the Kenosha County Department of Children and Family Services. I might mention also that Donna has served with the as the Concerned Citizens Coalition Teen Task Force Advisor and is currently a member of the board of its board of directors, and she has received a wide amount of highly recognized exemplary comments and so forth for her efforts and in support of these programs. Again, we're very, very glad to have had her time with us this week. And until next time, as we continue with our series of looking at those people and personalities that contribute so richly to our community, I thank you for listening, because education matters.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, time to test your smarts. The Hope Council's Trivia for Hope Spooktacular set for Friday, October 23rd, 7 p.m. at Kenosha's Kemper.